Where's that verse in Revelations? That the serpent is. It's in Revelations chapter 12. That old serpent, the devil. Satan. Revelations chapter 12. When we're talking about the woman who is above and free. With the 12 stars. Satan is indeed that serpent. Now, this is the truth that people have skipped over. Now, did Satan come to Eve in the guise of a serpent? Remember, it doesn't ever speak of Satan here. It speaks of the serpent. The serpent said. It doesn't even tell you, and Satan said through the serpent. Or Satan used the serpent. It just says the serpent. Listen to what it says. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman. Whoa. Doesn't tell you it's the devil. What is the writer here trying to... What is the writer assuming? Now let's look at it from the point of the view of the writer. The serpent said to the woman, did God really see you must not eat of any tree in the garden? Now everybody knows snakes don't talk. But he writes here as if it's a totally natural thing. The serpent was more crafty than any of the animals that God made. And he said to the woman. See, he gives us the image of a serpent to show us the nature of Satan. Satan is definitely speaking through a snake here. And that's probably literally what happened. But he's speaking of the serpent with all the characteristics of Satan. He talks and he deceives. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree from the garden? Now, what does this tell you about the rest of Genesis? If he's speaking of the snake and assuming you understand that it's Satan, then how many other things are here that are figures that he assumes you understand what they are? And this is given to you as the assumption. Now, listen where this leads. This is given to you with the assumption that the reader will understand that he's using metaphor. That these things aren't just literally what they appear. They are literal, but they aren't just literal. Doesn't the way he speak of the snake tell you that the nature of the book of Genesis here is more than just literal? Look at the way he uses the snake. Well, is it not a comment? Let's look at it. God bless you, Kim. Let's look at it, Stallone. Is it a normal occurrence for a snake to talk? Is it normal for snakes to talk? But here, you notice how they just skip over that. They just kind of skip over that fact that the snake is talking. Oh, it's a marvel, the snake talks. Now, let's look at something else where an animal talked in the Bible. Where Balaam's ass and turned around, talked to him and says, and told him, why are you beating me? Haven't I always, And God, it says, restrained the prophet's madness when he opened the mouth of the ass. God opened his mouth. Now, the fact that donkeys don't talk every day is paid attention to in that point, isn't it? The fact that donkeys do not talk every day is given some credence there, isn't it? But here, the fact that snakes do not talk at all any day is not given any credence. So this writer has an assumption in mind that you are understanding what he's talking about is more than just the physical, it's also spiritual. He's writing from the understanding that these things are metaphor. Now, this should be a great revelation. because it's going to teach you how to look at the rest of the book of Genesis and what he's talking about in these things. You're going to see the trees now as more than just trees. If you can look at the snake and see Satan, shouldn't you look at the woman and see more than the woman? Shouldn't you look at the man and see more than the man? Shouldn't you look at the trees and see more than just the trees? Shouldn't you see the garden, look at the garden and see more than just the garden? The fact that God is walking in this garden, shouldn't you be able to look at God and see more than just an image? You see what I'm saying? There's an automatic jump from the physical to the spiritual, from the literal to metaphor. And it's an assumed jump that you'll make. It's assuming that you will read this with understanding at one point or another. There is an assumption here by the writer, probably by God who inspired him, that you will read this with understanding one day. Can you see all that in just the fact that it speaks of the snake as if it's a casual occurrence, a snake talks? And never refers to him as Satan, just as the serpent. But we know now, don't we? From the rest of Scripture, we know Satan is that serpent. So what are we going to learn about the trees in the midst of the garden? What are we going to learn about the garden itself? What are we going to learn about the man and the woman? That they equally have meanings in the way the snake does. Can you see that? Is that clear? Okay. Going forward. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the midst of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So that they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Some interesting things here. First of all, let me ask you the question. Where was the tree? What was the tree that was in the midst of the garden? You must not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. Now, what tree is she talking about? Tree of knowledge and good and evil. But isn't there, how many trees though are there in the midst of the garden? Let's go back and read a verse. The Lord, verse 8 of chapter 2, the Lord planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God had made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the middle of the garden. Now she refers, you must not eat of the tree. Now notice how she didn't make a distinguishing. Well, you may not, God said you may not have eat of one of those trees that's in the middle of the garden. She didn't say one of those trees. She said, the tree. You must not eat of the tree. That is in the midst of the garden. Notice how she just left absent that there's another tree that they could eat of. Why did she do that, do you think? Why did she just say the tree in the garden? In the center of the garden. Now we have another thing here. Later on, we see that God says in the same chapter, at the end of it, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not allow the beast to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, had they ever eaten of the tree of life before? Had Adam and Eve ever eaten of the tree of life before they ate of the tree of good and evil? And why did Eve speak of it as the tree in the midst of the garden? What do y'all think? There were two trees in the midst of the garden, but Adam and Eve only saw one of them, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They didn't see the tree of life, though it was right next to it. Yeah. What Tiki said there, yes, because Eve only knew of the one tree. She was still in the womb. Her eyes were not open. They couldn't see. You can't see sin without the law, and therefore you cannot see your need for a Redeemer. And so you cannot see that the way to the tree of life is obscured. And this is the mystery that's been handed down, that's been opened to us now, because our eyes are open, aren't they? The mystery is that it was always going to be through Christ. Isn't that the mystery of God that's revealed in these last days? And once they saw through the law the knowledge of good and evil, then they saw the tree of life. So now it's time to block up the way, lest they partake of it and live forever as sinners. Is that clear? The mystery that was meant to be revealed that nobody saw. The mystery that was meant to be revealed about Jesus that nobody saw. Isn't that the mystery from the beginning? Want to read about this mystery that's revealed only through Christ? Is the veil taken away? Hello? Only in Christ is the veil taken away so that you can see. Sorry, my pages are sticking together here. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through blood and the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all good things in heaven and earth together under one head, in Christ. That's the mystery. He purposed it to be revealed at the proper time through Christ. So the way of to the tree of life was obscured even by the prophets who wrote about it. This is the way to the tree of life. That angel with the flaming cherubim has been removed for us to partake. That angel with the flaming sword that sweeps from side to side has been removed for us to enter in and partake. And that is entering back into that communion with God that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. But only through Jesus can we enter in. Now we can enter in, not according to the flesh, which was Adam and Eve were blocked from entering it according to the flesh. But now we can enter it in according to the Spirit because of Christ's sacrifice. We couldn't do it through Adam. We had to do it through Christ. Now the path to that tree was revealed. Listen to what it says. Entering into paradise is in God's presence, in communion with God. Communion with God. All those people who were in Abraham's bosom could not enter into the true paradise until Jesus actually died. And so they were in hell in Abraham's bosom. When Jesus died, the way to the Father was opened and they could enter in. And we, by faith, have entered in with them through Jesus' sacrifice. The Lord God said, "The man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not allow to reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground. That's the banishment from God's communion, walking with God. Banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden, the spiritual side, a cherubim with a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And it was hidden until that way has been revealed. Now the way has been revealed at the right time. And we enter in. Exactly, Tiki. Exactly. Because both were founded from the foundation of the world. Jesus was considered slain before the foundations of the world were laid, right? So that tree had to be there in the garden. The garden of that communion with God. That tree had to be there as well. But they couldn't see it until their eyes were opened through the law. Amen. From the foundations. It's a good place to stop today. Give you something to think on.